This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. On June 5th, the Contemporary Art Museum and its neighbor, the Pulitzer Arts Foundation, will become Faded, a high fantasy costumed, fairy and whimsy-filled celebration of queer arts, arts makers, and community in St. Louis. It will also feature the premiere of Faded the Opera, a work written and produced by multidisciplinary artist Maxie Glamour. And they join us now to talk about it. Maxie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So tell us about Faded's history. You know, what is it and how did it get started?
Yeah, Faded started after the pandemic. It was an idea during the pandemic, just creating something. We wanted to create this alternate dimension, you know, where queer people could be treated right, where people of color can take space within fantasy spaces. And so through multiple reiterations, we ended up here at Contemporary Art Museum, and it's been a wonderful journey.
Mm-hmm. Where are the places that it was, you know, staged or held before it got to CAM?
Before it got to CAM, the idea started in an abandoned mental health facility on the South Side. And that quickly moved to the Crack Fox, where we ran out of space. We had 400 people coming in, and then it also went to Mississippi Underground, which is a warehouse just a little bit north of downtown. And mm-hmm. it's taken a journey.
And there was a virtual sort of maybe precursor or something that came in between in 2020 as well.
Yeah. So I worked with Contemporary Art Museum for a very long time, creating different programming. The first programs that I did with them was the Black Friday Ball. And so this was a way that we can bring underground black art into high institutional places like Contemporary Art Museum. And unfortunately, the pandemic happened and we had to do it virtual. And it was amazing, actually. We got to work with people who were Vogue dancers in Paris, and we really got to connect St. Louis worldwide with that type of art form.
Mm-hmm. Now, Faded is spelled F-A-E-D-E-D. Mm-hmm. And you'd mentioned that it was inspired by Black Faday out of Atlanta. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm black and I love fantasy. And I think, you know, we watch a lot of these fantasy movies like Lord of the Rings or even Harry Potter. And there are these worlds where they imagine magic and they imagine wonder and mystery. But they're imagining worlds where people of color don't exist. And so Black Faday was a way for black people in particular to reclaim that magic and reclaim the stories and just share how we should be a part of the narrative.
Mm-hmm. So fairies and fantasy, you know, queerness, queer creativity, what is the relationship or interplay among these?
Yeah, you know, I always think about The Crucible, even though it's not a black author, but it really, you know, you think about the girls who are practicing witchcraft, they felt powerless, you know, and you know, Tituba came and they helped them feel like they were in control of their lives. And so a lot of queer people, you know, they find themselves in pagan arts. They find themselves loving Harry Potter even after the transphobia. And so really that wonder, that mystery that we can be in control of our own lives and that we can make ourselves be whoever we want is something that is just deeply rooted within queer culture.
Mm-hmm. So you've been organizing Faded at CAM for some years now. Mm-hmm. It stretches back a decade since like 2016, thereabouts. But when was it that you started thinking, Maxie, about writing an opera?
Yeah, I think, you know, when the first time I saw a Puccini opera, you know, in fifth grade, I saw La Boheme, I was like, oh, I kind of want to do that. And then I got older, I became a burlesque dancer, a drag artist, and I've created smaller pieces, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And then I started creating longer musical pieces that didn't have story in them. They were about 30 minutes. And I really wanted to create something that, you know, was new and original and weird and avant-garde. And I think opera is something that people don't really think is avant-garde. And it's an uncharted territory for radical queerness. And
mm-hmm.
so I didn't give you a good answer of when.
No,
but
no. I mean, so you started working on this at least a year ago, right?
On this one in particular, yeah, I started working on the music a year ago.
Mm-hmm. What made it feel like mean, that opera was the thing to bring new to Faded for 2026.
Yeah, I wanted previously to do it. And, you know, some of the performers are like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if like I have the skills. And there's a lot of artists in St. Louis, and there's a lot of really skilled artists. And so I found people who that was their skill and that was their journey. And so over the last year, I've been writing music and creating a piece that highlights them. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear the first part of the first act of your opera, Maxi, Faded.
She's a queen and she's coming for the money. She's a queen, she's so snappy that it's funny. She's a queen of the corporate jungle. And she's here ready to rumble. Fighting for it all. She's ready to make the check. She'll beat you there. Come on over and meet the queen of the corporate jungle, Miss Toulouse.
So, Maxi, who are we hearing here, and how does this set up the narrative of your opera?
Yeah, that is Babyface and Fame. They are two amazing Vogue dancers. They are huge in the ball scene, St. Louis and internationally. And they're setting up the scene for Toulouse. And Toulouse is the only white character in the opera, and also the you know, the antagonist of the whole story. And so they're really just showing the corporate fairy coming into the story.
Mm-hmm. So what is the story?
Don't you want to know? Yeah, the story is basically, it's a corporate fairy who has a briefcase that is made out of demon skin called Braviathan. And the briefcase is like, give me money, give me jewels. And then Toulouse is like, okay, I'll do that. And then the briefcase is like, actually, I want magic. And so the briefcase tells Toulouse to go to Emerald Grove and extract and exploit magic from where all the people of color in the opera are.
Mm-hmm. And those are wood fairies?
Yeah.
Right? And then there's a kidnapping as well?
There is a kidnapping. I really wanted to allegorize like ICE and, you know, the ways in which people of color get hypnotized to exploit and harm people within their own communities. So this might be a spoiler, but Toulouse definitely uses some magic to convince Babyface and Fame to join her side and then kidnap people. And then there's a whole jail part of the opera.
Mm-hmm. And I'm asking you for these because as I understand opera, you know, people do know what the story is mm-hmm. as they go into this space. Is that something that will be happening? Like, will people be given something of the narrative as they're entering, or is it meant to be more of a surprise?
You know, I didn't really think about the surprise component. You know, I want people to know that it's an anti-fascist opera with fairies, and there's going to be a kidnapping and dancing. I think, you know, the spectacle of it is definitely going to be watching it. I think kind of like Titanic, you know, everyone knows that Jack might die at the end, but they still are thrilled the whole entire time. And so there's no Jack in this opera, but there's going to be thrills.
Mm-hmm. And we're speaking today with Maxi Glamour, multidisciplinary artist and the writer and producer of Faded, the opera, which will be world premiering at the Contemporary Art Museum on June 5th, and that is part of an event that is a Pride Month celebration and is a collaboration, actually, between Contemporary Art Museum and the Pulitzer Art Foundation. So Faded is an opera, of course, so story mm-hmm. And song are part of this, but it's also told in drag and mm-hmm. dance. Mm-hmm. What makes that approach fitting?
Yeah, I mean, I come from the drag scene, right? I've been performing drag in St. Louis for 17 years. You know, these are the people who I've grown up with. This is the art form that I think is most true to what I love. And I think when we're, you know, going to the symphony, going to operas, there are there are different types of ways that people are showing things. And I think that this isn't just for normal crowds who go to the operas. This is a way that queer people from the underground can see themselves on the stage, and it can be a segue to go seeing a Bizet play or going to see Puccini or going to see anything at the symphony.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's been missing?
Yes. Yeah. There's so many articles online that are definitely showing how classical music doesn't really include people of color. And so we're trying to make sure that, you know, the symphony is going to be there giving away free tickets. So if this is people's first taste, that they can go and explore more, because St. Louis is such a rich place for art. And I think that a lot of people of color, a lot of queer people, a lot of people from the underground think that there is this gatekeeping, classist barrier of entry into places like the PAL or opera houses. And while to some extent that is kind of true, I do think that music can be for everyone. And I think if people see someone like me creating something like this, then they themselves might decide, hey, I can do it too.
Mm-hmm. The dance component of this production, what kinds of dance are people going to see?
Yeah, so I helped choreograph some of it. I just do too much, but Fame and Babyface are the main choreographers from this, and they're from the ball scene. They work on pageants across the country, helping drag queens choreograph their pieces. And so I think when you're thinking of choreography for this, I would think less of like Fosse and think of more like a pageant show.
Mm-hmm. And was that informed by the talent that is here?
Yeah. I sometimes forget of how much of St. Louis made me. You know, we have the historic Catherine Dunham with African dance here. We have an amazing, vibrant Vogue scene. You know, I spent such a long time at Vanilla Studios learning belly dance, burlesque, and drag. And so all of it has really been influenced by my peers, my contemporaries here in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear a bit more from Faded the Opera. This is another piece from Act One, which introduces Emerald Grove.
The wind is my friend as it holds me close. I bathe in the scent of lilies and rose. I go with the wind wherever it goes. To what end I do not know. The wind is my friend as it holds me close. I bathe in the scent of lilies and rose. I go with the wind wherever it goes. To what end I do not know. Petals, remember the steps that we take. The roots keep the promises no one can break. The breeze tells the truth that words cannot make. In the hush between the give and the take, the wind is my friend as it holds me close. I bathe in the scent of lilies and rose. I go with the wind wherever it goes. To what end I do not know. The wind is my friend as it holds me close. I bathe in the scent of lilies and rose. I go with the wind wherever it goes. To what end I do not know. Slipping around and around we go. Moving our sides to the to and fro. Sipping on things you would never know. Unless you come into the Emerald Grove.
So Maxie, before this song, there's instrumental music, you know, what sounds like Asian flute, African drums, it creates a distinct mood. And obviously, you know, the vocalization here, the voicing does that too. As an interdisciplinary artist, is there something, Maxie, that you're doing with Faded that is, you know, to you, like intentionally queer, insofar as opera conventions go?
Yeah. You know, I think about queer as like being twisted, right? I think that there's like a straightness and there's an ordinariness. I think the queerness is definitely exemplified by the fact that everyone is gay. That everyone in the opera, except for maybe Moses, is queer. I think that highlighting queer people and making sure that we are the main characters in the story is important. I think the queerness is just really using so many different musical influences in there. The song before that is, you know, I have a whole bunch of music that I play on the flute, and I really wanted to bring that into this because I just thought it was really fun and it'll be really great to dance to. And it's not something, you know, when you go to a drag show or you go to normal queer spaces, you're not really hearing world music. You know, you hear more contemporary US stuff. And so I really wanted queerness to not just be our orientation, but a reconfiguration of how we are oriented towards the world that is built on queerness, is built on an intersectional queerness of liberation and justice.
Mm-hmm. And in our last minute, Maxi, what are you most excited about, you know, with this premiere happening in just a week and a half?
Yeah, I won't be doing 7-hour rehearsals.
That's real.
we've been rehearsing so much.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that doesn't sound like positive, but I really want to see what happens. I really want to see the work. We've put so much work into this, more than I've done a lot of musical acts, and I think that this is more work and more, you know, more energy like consuming than anything I've done. And so I really want to be able to sit down and just remember the magic that we created and just hear what people say, and then of course do something similar again.
Mm-hmm. St. Louis artist Maxi Glamour is the writer and producer of Faded, the opera, and organizer of the Pride Month-focused First Friday Faded event at the Contemporary Art Museum on June 5th. For more information, visit camstl.org/calendar. Thank you so much for talking with us today, Maxi.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.